Thank you, Evan. Thank you, worship team. Good morning. Good to have you here. Talking about the snow, I really have been mixed, but I'll tell you the good things about the snow. It's getting so high around my house that when I shovel, I've used muscles I never knew I had. I'm a younger man today because I've been just lifting it up. And I go to bed at night and I say, man, my neck and my shoulders hurt. That's that snow. That's good for you. We need that. I want you to take your Bibles, turn to James chapter 4. And maybe a little bit of 3 there. We're in a series called Let's Keep It Simple. I'm not sure that it's going to be that simple this week, but we'll do the best we can. I don't like the title, okay? I tell you what I have to do. I have to get the titles into Danny early, and not only that, I give her the whole schmear of titles early so that she knows the way ahead of time. And I really like last week's title, which was How to Heart the Tongue. But this week, How to Avoid Conflict. I want you to know that you're not going to be able to avoid conflict. It almost sounds like you go and hide. You know, how to go and hide. That isn't what I mean by that. We're going to have conflict in this world. Okay? I want to avoid the kind of conflict that brings disrepute to Jesus Christ. Okay? So that's what I'm going to be talking about. So I don't really like that title. Could have been different, but I had to get it in early. And then when I was really working on the sermon, I thought, oh man, that doesn't work out too good. Anyway, last week, How to Heart the Tongue, we saw, and I'm going to do a little review because chapter 3 and chapter 4 go together. Of course, there were no chapters in those days. This was a letter. And really, you need to read the letter of James over and over and over again. Now, it's like a bit like the Proverbs because he jumps from topic to topic. But I'll tell you what, 4 really, as I discovered, really follows 3. Okay? He is continuing his argument here. And so we're just going to look a little bit at review on 3, so because we need to really understand what we're going to talk about today. And last week we saw that the tongue, my tongue, blah, 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 we even practiced it. We wiggled it and we made noises and everything. The tongue reveals who I am. Okay? It's not the tongue's fault that I say the things I say. Don't blame your tongue. Even though we say, you know, watch your tongue. We saw that the tongue displays what my character is inside. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34, for out of the outflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. He wasn't talking about the pumping of blood heart. He was talking about the inner person. Out of the inner person. And if I've got a problem with my tongue, if I'm saying things that are hurtful, or as I said last week, even texting things, because that's now a new way of talking, things that are hurtful, it's much more serious than our tongue. It's a heart problem. We've got a heart problem. Proverbs chapter 27, I found this excellent verse last night as I was reading. Proverbs 27:19 says this, as water reflects a face, you know, you look into calm water, you know, you comb your hair in the water, in a pond, okay? Reflects a face. So a man's heart reflects the man. Woo! Powerful. That's what Jesus said. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The tongue takes its signal from the heart, from our brain, as we saw last week, the intellect and our will, the thought process from our mind. We looked at last week in chapter 3, the pilot and the rudder. And the little rudder, even though it's so small, moves that great ship back and forth in the sea. It's not the rudder's fault that causes the accidents to go up against the rocks. It's the pilot's fault. Because he's controlling the rudder. Okay? So we learned last week that it's not the tongue. It's from the heart. It's what's in my heart. And then we saw, James taught us last week, that there are two sources from which our heart can draw wisdom and understanding. There's two sources to which we go. He says in chapter 3 and verse 17, but the wisdom that comes from heaven, okay, is first of all pure and then peace-loving and considerate and submissive and full of mercy and good fruit and impartial and sincere. That's the wisdom that comes from above. That's the wisdom of God. When we allow our heart to be filled with His wisdom, when we meditate upon God and His Word and allow ourselves to be filled with that, out of the mouth that'll speak. And it'll speak those sort of things because that's what that wisdom does. But the other source, he says, does not come down from heaven. But it is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. It's earthly. Its source is the world. That's the two sources. One is the source that comes down from heaven. One is the source of God. The other is the source of the world. And from that source, he told us in verse 15, envy and selfish ambition. And there you find that comes envy and selfish ambition. And there you find disorder and every evil practice. You find conflict. We looked at the fact that a pure well doesn't give you sour water. But a sour well can't give you pure water. Because what's in the well is what comes out of it. And what's in your heart and what you feed the heart will eventually come out of the mouth and it'll reveal the real you. That's what we learned last week. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. James was written to Christians. Paul was saying to the Christians, you need to realize that now that you are a Christian, now that you are a Christ one, you need to change where you get your source of meditation from. You used to get it from the world, but don't do that any longer. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renew your mind. Then you'll be able to approve what God's perfect will is. John said in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, do not love the world and all that is in the world. So as Christians, there's a possibility of us drawing from the wrong well. And then we can't expect good to come out of the mouth. Now, we learned last week that sometimes we can fake it pretty good. We'll talk about that in a minute. Jesus said the same thing in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 10. He was talking to the Pharisees who had accused his disciples of not washing their hands in the proper way, okay, before they were eating. And Jesus called to the crowd to him and said, listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile it. But what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles it. And Peter said in verse 15, explain the parable to us. And Jesus asked him, don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart. And these defile him. These expose him. These define him. Shows what he's really like. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person. Proverbs says this. In chapter 4 and verse 23, he says, above all else, guard your heart. For it is the wellspring of life. The psalmist says this, O Lord, give me an undivided heart. An undivided heart. I will praise you with all my heart. Give me a heart that is going to the right source. Don't give me a divided heart that gets some wisdom from the world and some wisdom from God and gets the thing all mixed up inside. We give our hearts to God by going to the right source. That's what we learned last week. The point is that whatever is in the well comes out in the water. Now this week, James is continuing that line of thinking. Because what he's saying here is the tongue can cause all kinds of conflict. And he's going to talk about that conflict. And then he's going to tell us the cure. Okay? So in verse 1 in chapter 4 of James, we start. What causes fights and arguments or quarrels among you? What causes quarrels? Quarrels come out of the mouth, right? What causes that? That's what he's asking. What causes you to fight with each other and in the home, in the church, at work, and quarrel? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? Don't they come? He's going back to what he was talking about before, the wisdom. Don't you see that what's coming out of your mouth is really revealing what's going on in you? And there's a battle going on in you. You see, when we become Christians, when we get out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, the Spirit of God begins to battle in our hearts against the forces of the world. And there's a battle going on in there. And what James is going to teach us is he's going to say, now look at what you need to do is go to the right source to win the battle and feed your heart with the right stuff. But if you go to the wrong source, you're going to be in problems, even as a Christian. So then he goes on to say, don't these things come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have. So you kill. Jesus said, if you hate somebody, you murdered them. You kill. You covet because you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel. And you fight. Now, that doesn't happen in a Baptist church, but that happens in churches. I've been a pastor before I retired for over 40 years. And I've seen a lot of quarrels, and I've seen a few fights. Not physical ones, but they may as well have been. You do not have because you do not ask God. You go to the wrong source. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives that you may spend it on your own pleasures. What James is saying here is the cause of conflict in our lives is desires that are stored up within the heart. Desires that battle within me. There's a war going on. A war in the Christian. Mixed messages. We're getting bombarded from the world on how to behave, how to react, what to think, what our priorities should be. And if we allow that to fill our hearts, that wisdom from the world is going to result in quarreling and fighting and all kinds of conflict. There's a war going on in the hearts of men and women. There's a war going in the hearts of our children. There's a battle for our hearts. And so James is taking it a step farther. He's saying, you need to learn how to control your tongue, but in order to control your tongue, you've got to deal with your heart. Because Jesus says, out of the heart flows the words of the tongue. So that's why these chapters go together. He said, you see, in chapter 3 and verse 9, he said this, and we didn't spend time on it because it comes in here, really, to think back of it. With the tongue we praise our God and Father, and with it we curse men who've been made in His image. These things should not be. Out of the same mouth come praising and cursing. He's defining the battle. This is written to Christians. In other words, as Christians, there's a battle going on within us. And out of this same mouth, because out of this heart, can come praises to God and curses to my spouse. These things ought not to be, is what he's saying. You've got to deal with this. And we're going to talk about the cure in a minute. You desire what you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. When we get caught in this idea of comparing our lives with other people, you know what? We'll never be happy with what we've got. And James tells us that's because we don't ask God. We drink from the wrong well. We'd rather argue than pray. When I'm upset with my wife, I want you to know the last thing on my mind is prayer. She's got me pushing furniture around now. We're redecorating. It wouldn't be bad if it just had to push it one new place. I got rid of just about half of my library. 3 columns of bookshelves. And then we took that library and we moved the rest of it upstairs. Have you ever moved a library and put them in boxes and carry them up the stairs, put them back? First you have to paint the shelf. It doesn't matter. The last thing in my mind was take this to the Lord in prayer. Now, I didn't fight very much with my wife. I just want you to know that. She's not here today to defend. But she defended me. But what I'm saying here is when this happens, we are not always ready to pray. And when we do pray, it's kind of like, Lord, could you just kind of deal with this? Rather than, Lord, what would you have me? How would you have me respond? Now, when we go to the wrong source, when we listen to what's happening in the world, and when we watch the TV programs and the news programs and see what's going and read the wrong literature and allow that to come into our hearts, we're going to the wrong source. We don't only have conflict with people, but we have conflict with God. This is even more serious. Look at what he says in verse 4. You adulterous people. He's talking to the church. Don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity with God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you not think that Scripture says without reason that He jealously longs for the Spirit He's caused to dwell within us? Do you realize, Christians, that when you go to the world for your source of information and input into your heart, that God is jealous of that? Because He has saved you. You're His wife now. You're the bride of the church. He's your husband. And when you don't go to Him and you go to another source of the world and get your information and fill your heart with that, it's like adultery. That's pretty tough language. That's what He's saying. Don't you know that? He's saying to us, this is serious business. Seeking the world for advice rather than seeking God. God opposes the proud. God sees that because He loves us so much and He wants to be with us and He's given us His Spirit within, and all we have to do is ask Him in a proper way. Choosing friendship with the world means enmity with God. Now, what's the cure for this? Well, James gives us some specific actions that need to be taken in order to stop the conflict with God and stop the conflict with other people and to receive grace and wisdom that comes from above. Let's go through them very quickly. Short, right there in the Bible for you. Number one, submit yourself then to God. Isn't it interesting? We win the battle in our heart by submitting. So what he's saying here is the first thing you need to do is to say, I am going to go to God with my heart. I'm going to go to that well. I'm going to find out what He has to say. I'm going to submit myself to under His lordship. I'm going to do things His way. I'm not going to always be clamoring to do things the other way. Submit yourself to God. That's a starting point. I know now that wisdom and understanding comes from above, from heaven. And that's what is peaceable. And if I've got a problem with my heart and my mouth displays that, then the first thing I need to do is I need to submit to God. Give yourself to God. Now, I believe that's more than just becoming a Christian. It's a matter of lordship. It's a matter of saying, okay, God, I am going to the best of my ability, give myself to You on a daily, moment-by-moment basis. I'm going to live under Your lordship. I'm going to seek You for direction. Okay. Number two, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Realize where the conflict is coming from. Someone said the other day to me, after last week, said, you know, Roy, I really understand this matter of sources, that, but you know, all of a sudden something comes up into my head that I don't know where that came from. We're going to deal with that. That's what we're going to deal with. It came from the heart. All of a sudden I said something, I thought, why did I say that? Oh, it came out of the heart. And you need to realize that we are in a battle. The word resist actually is a war term. We need to recognize that there's a source behind this that is active and we're at war. Resist means to be prepared, to stand against, to withstand attack. The devil wants to destroy our marriages, our families. The devil wants to destroy our churches. He wants to destroy every good relationship. Why? Because he loves conflict. He loves it. He wants to cause confusion and stress and hurt feelings and disappointment and anger and chaos. And we got to realize that that's where that's coming from. That's the source of it. It comes from this world. It comes from the earth. It doesn't come from above. And we need to stand up against that. And what we need to do is when we see those lies, we need to get a truth out of Scripture that will combat that. That's what Jesus did when He resisted the devil. The devil said something, He resisted it with by quoting Scripture. Okay? You've got to line up some Scriptures against what's going on from the source that brings lies. Because Satan is a liar. Satan is a rebel. Satan used to be an angel with God and rebelled against Him and said, I'll put my throne above God. And Satan was booted out of heaven and he's a rebellious it doesn't matter what it is. He's not nice. He's against you. He hates you. He hates God and he hates everyone who claims to be God. Or a child of God. He's out to get you. And if he can defeat you, he will. And he comes at you through the world, through your own flesh, and himself. Okay? So you need to stand up against him. Paul says this, why do we do that? In order that Satan may not outwit us. We're not unaware of his schemes. We need to realize the source. Paul says, wise up, recognize the facts. This is coming from beneath, not from above. The devil isn't someone who stands around with a pitchfork and a red suit and looks funny. He operates by playing on our pride and our flesh. He whispers into our ears. He gives us little thoughts and suggestions. When you're in the middle of the argument, he whispers into your mind, you're not going to take that kind of stuff, are you? Show him who's boss. Yeah, I don't have to put up with you all my life. I'll find somebody else. Where do you think that comes from? Out of a Christian's mouth. These things ought not to be. Where are they coming from? They're coming out of the heart. Coming from the world. They're coming from a different source. And if you listen to the world today, and I'm not saying that you can't listen to the world, and you can't watch some worldly things. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying, if you let that get buried in your heart and believe that what you're seeing from the world is the truth about the way life is, then we're badly mistaken. Because all of that is the way the world thinks. And he's going to make sure you feel it and hear it. Okay? You need to say, Satan, I know that's you. I know that's coming not from the source from above. For the source from above says this. You quote the Scripture. Because that brings envy, selfish ambition, find disorder in every evil practice, he said. Next thing you need to do is come near to God. And he'll come near to you. The reason you need to do that is when you resist the devil, it isn't a one-shotter. You don't resist him once and he goes. He came back to Jesus 3 times. I believe he did it more than that. Okay? So, you resist the devil, he'll flee from you, but he's going to come back again. So now, what we're going to talk about is really, really important. This is what you do now. Okay? You don't just resist the devil, you got to do this. You resist the devil with the truth. You do that. And then you do this. You come near to God. This is the order he put him in. And he will come near to you. Submit yourself to God. I'm going to go your way. Resist the devil. Then take some time to come near to God and he will come near to you. Draw near to him. Set some time aside to be with him. Because you want to get to the bottom of this. Wash your hands, you sinners. That's the next thing. A wash your hands represents confession of your conduct. So you want to come to God. If you're going to come to God, you've got to come with your sins forgiven. So the first thing when you draw near to God, you make sure that you repent of all known sin. You even ask Him to reveal any known sin. I'm talking about conduct, things you've done, said, thought, whatever. You just get that rid of that. That's washing your hands. Don't minimize this. Take it seriously. Confess your sins, wrong attitudes, wrong actions. It's humbling. But God gives grace to the humble. This is just between you and God now. You're drawing near to Him. He's coming closer. And He'll come closer and closer. But you get wash your hands. Say, Lord, is there anything that I've done today? This ought to be a regular. You wash your hands more than once a day, don't you? Do you? You should be, especially during flu season. Wash your hands of the heart, too. More than once a month at communion. Okay? Stay in close fellowship with God, because if you stay in close fellowship with God, He'll come close to you. And you need Him. Because He's the one that's going to win the battle, not you. Okay? Then He says this. Here's the key. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Purify your heart. What do you do here? Well, you come close to God. You're confessing. Okay? You confess all your sins. That you know. Don't spend a lot of time. And God will show you your sins. If you ask Him and you're honest, He'll show you. You don't go, oh, there must be more, there must be more. Forget it. God will show it to you. If you draw near to Him, He'll show you your sin. Okay? So don't go overboard. Okay, now purify your heart. This is what you need to ask when you purify your heart as you draw near to God. Lord, what is it about my heart? What is it about my desires? What is it about my motives? What is it about me that makes me double-minded? One moment I'm spiritual, the other moment I'm worldly. What is it about my heart that allows Satan to keep coming at me? Now remember, we need to ask that question because our heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? We don't really understand our heart, okay? But verse 10, right behind that verse, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? We've heard that quote a lot of times. Did you realize the next verse is, I, the Lord, search the heart. That's the next verse. And examine the mind. So you say, okay, Lord, I'm coming here. I want you to search my heart. I want you to show me what is it about my heart. Search me, O God, the psalmist said in Psalm 139. Know my heart, test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way and lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, what is it about my heart? My inner person, me. Show me my heart. And then just sit and wait and listen. I double dare you. I remember one time when I was in Revelstoke in the 70s. And I had been practicing this for a while. This is not a one-shot deal, by the way. If the Lord showed you your heart all at once, it would destroy you. So God is gracious. He's not going to do that. So it's not a one-shot deal. In the 70s, I remember. And I finished preaching. And of course, after I finished preaching, I got up, went and sat down, and a thought came into my mind like this. That was pretty good, Roy. Yeah, that was good. That's good stuff. And I thought, where did that come from? And because prior to preaching, I had already done most of these other things and washed my hands and everything else. I just simply did this. I bowed my head just there while they were singing the last song. And I said, Lord, what is it about my heart that would allow Satan to put that thought in my mind. That's not from you. Just like that, God showed me. He said to me, that's because you're more concerned about what they think than what I think. My heart. Do you realize that a heart that thinks more about what people think than what God thinks, you don't know how many temptations you can be tempted with? See, if you think more of what someone else thinks than what God thinks, you could lie to them, because if you told them the truth, they wouldn't like you. So why would you tell the truth? You just fudge it. You could be tempted to do all kinds of things just to keep people happy. If that's what your concern is, Roy, if you're just concerned about what they think and you don't care what I think. It's a shocking thing. I said, oh God, give me your heart. Who always thought of what the Father wanted. Didn't matter what the Pharisees said. It was, I've come to do the will of my Father. The words that I speak are the words of my Father. The things that I do are the things of my Father. I just do what the Father wants. I'm not concerned about what people think. I said, Lord, I need that heart. I need a heart transplant. I need your heart. I need your spirit. But it gave me great understanding into what was really part of what my personal being was. Okay? You see, if I have an angry heart, if I'm bitter, if I've been hurt and angry, I'll have a harsh tongue. I need to realize that it's just not words that I'm saying, it's because I've been hurt and I'm angry and I've been trying to push it down and change it and somehow sing songs and be nice, but every once in a while that hurt comes up and I need God to heal that hurt. I need God to give me a new heart because my heart has been broken. If I have an unsettled heart, I'm going to find myself with an overactive tongue because if I'm insecure, if I'm impure, I'll have a filthy tongue. If I covet lust, I'll think filthy thoughts. And I need a new heart. God said, like we said last week, I'll give you my heart. I'll put my spirit within you. I'll win the battle for you. And then he says this, grieve, mourn, wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Don't minimize what happened there. This is a solemn moment as God is answering your prayer and revealing our hearts. Take it seriously. Confess self-centeredness. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven. Listen to this. It's humbling. It's humbling. But look at what verse 10 says, the seventh thing. Humble yourself before the Lord, and He will lift you up. There you're down in the dust thinking that, What am I? How can I be this? And God says, no. I'll give you my heart. I'll lift you up. You humbled yourself. I resist the proud, but I give grace to the humble. Grace is the power to change. Grace is His ability to help you be what you want to be. To be the spouse you want to be. To be the parent you want to be. To be the student you want to be the person you want to be. God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. He lifts you up. Leave you with this verse, Psalm 19:14. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. It doesn't really matter who else I please. If I'm pleasing them, if I'm pleasing the Lord, then I'll get along with people. And I'll be loving, and I'll be kind, and I'll be patient, and I'll be all the fruit of the Spirit. Now, it's not a one deal. It's a continual deal. Okay? So, the next time you've gone through this, but the next time that thought comes, you just say, oh Lord, why would I think or say that? Why would I do that? Father, thank you for being so patient with us and loving us so that you are even envious of us, and when we go elsewhere for wisdom, when we have this wonderful spring of heavenly wisdom and knowledge available that we can drink from at any time, help us to go to that source. In Jesus' name we pray.